it's another gut punch, and we've had a number of those, obviously, here in the first half, and you know, we've gotten off the mat each and every time, and you know, we've got to do it again and understand we've got a lot at stake starting on Thursday, and it's in our hands.
That's New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone describing what all of us Yankee fans have been feeling so far this season. A punch right in the stomach that has knocked us to the floor. But the thing about this team is that they aren't even that bad. They're just not anywhere good enough for a fan base that grades on the harshest curve in the game. So today, Jeff Passan levels with me, and he explains that maybe, just maybe, the only way to get all the way back up is to just stay down. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, July 15th. This is ESPN Daily. Jeff, I've been watching you on television for several days now, and you've been phenomenal, just to be honest with you. But the best thing that I think you produced this week was a tweet, and there were five bullet points, and I just want to read the fourth one and the fifth one. Number four, I'm 5'9". Number five, yes, I'm extremely pasty.
These are accurate things, Pablo.
Jeff Passan is an MLB insider for ESPN who embodies the concept of journalistic transparency, both philosophically and physically.
I got into this business to tell the truth, and the truth I do tell.
Jeff, I empathize with this, to be clear, as somebody who was on television and is constantly asked, wait a minute, how tall are you? And I feel like you had this experience in front of the national baseball world, basically, this week.
I actually blame two people for this. The first person is my friend and Baseball Tonight host Kevin Connors, and the second person is Tim Kirkchin. People don't understand. On a bean-shaped table, the guy who stands in the middle looks shorter. And so Kevin Connors is on one end, looking like the Jolly Green Giant, and Tim yes. Kirkchin is on the other end, looking like an Oompa Loompa. And here I am, stuck in the middle, the sun reflecting off of my translucent skin. It was just a no-win situation altogether.
It was glorious, to be clear. It was glorious. But I bring you on here today, Jeff, because I need to talk to you about something else that I'm wondering might be an illusion or might be the cruel reality of just how things are right now. Because my childhood team, my ancestral franchise, the New York Yankees. I mean, just give me an adjective, Jeff, for this team as they stand in the dregs of the AL East.
There is a phrase associated with the Yankees for a long time that did not apply and was uttered and chanted and screamed out of the mouths of Boston Red Sox fans, out of the mouths of fans across the American League East and really the American League landscape. And I think right now it applies to these New York Yankees, and it is suck.
Well, this is a phrase, Jeff, that Yankee fans like myself are going to be hearing on repeat day after day after day after day because they have the Red Sox, man. The Red Sox, who, of course, sit atop the division. The Yankees, who limped into this All-Star break, just getting gut-punched, by the way, by the Houston Astros right before. I mean, if you slept through how the Yankees collapsed into the midseason classic, what exactly happened?
It was a confluence of a few different things. And really, the story of this Yankees team goes back to the start of the season. They entered this year as the favorites. They had this prolific lineup that had Aaron Judge in the middle of it and DJ LeMahieu, the batting champion, coming back after signing a long-term contract and Giancarlo Stanton maybe staying healthy, and Gerrit Cole, and Luis Severino, and Corey Kluber, and, you know, name after name after
name.
and they stunk pretty bad for the first, month or so. And then May came along and they started winning. And it's like, did we misjudge this team? Maybe they are pretty good. And then June came along and the Skelter came back to balance out the Helter. And what ended up happening most notably over the past few weeks is Aroldis Chapman, who had been unhittable over the first couple months as their closer, completely lost it.
And the pitch. Drilled deep to right center field. Tie game. Oh my goodness, a tie game on the grand slam by Walsh. Absolute disbelief on the Yankee side as Chapman simply had nothing.
And in that final game of the first half, Pablo.
Yeah.
You say that like the great lament that every Yankee fan is having right now.
I see it in my mind's eye. I see a shirtless Jose Altuve.
Well, what you see first is a scoreboard that says 7-2, which was the lead that the Yankees held going into the ninth inning. And then the Houston Astros, who have the best offense in baseball, you know, they drop a couple runs on Domingo Germán. And in any normal situation, the New York Yankees would bring in their $16 million closer, Aroldis Chapman, and say, go throw fastballs and strike these guys out. Instead, in comes Chad Green, who's a very good reliever. But Chad Green proceeds to cough up the lead in pretty ridiculous fashion, ending with Jose Altuve.
Now Green's pitch is swung on and a high fly to left field, and it is gone for a game-winning three-run home run. Unbelievable. And they rip off Altuve's shirt to show he doesn't have a buzzer on.
And this being days after Aaron Judge hit a home run and closed his jersey up as he went around third base to troll Altuve.
Whenever they keep the roof closed here, it's pretty chilly. So it's just, you know, let my team know to button up a little bit.
Who famously didn't want to get his shirt ripped off after homering off Aroldis Chapman to win a postseason series. I mean, it was kind of delicious.
Yeah, look, no one's weeping for the guys with 27 rings, bro, et cetera, et cetera. But it's delicious. It's delicious like Drano, Jeff. And so just take me back to how it is that beyond the normal run-of-the-mill Yankee delusion, tell me how it is that handicappers got this all seemingly so wrong when they anointed this particular Yankees team the favorites here.
Yeah, I think there were a couple of elements that people missed out on with this Yankees team. We should have seen the one-dimensionality of this offense. If you're a Yankees fan, you're going to remember the 2021 team, I think, for being two things: undisciplined and boring. And the first tends to lead to a bad team, but the second, in the Bronx, in the boroughs surrounding it, is unconscionable. If you're the Yankees and you are boring, then you are not fulfilling your duty. And you know what? If you're gonna be boring, at least go out and win. The issue with discipline, though, is the one that baseball people are focusing on. I got a text from a scout earlier this season, and it was very simple in what it said. The Yankees are the worst base running team I've ever seen. There's a statistic on Fangraphs called base running runs. It essentially takes all of the base running plays that a team has, and if it's a good play, it adds value, and if it's a bad play, it subtracts value. The Yankees are dead last in base running runs in baseball right now. Their base running is a negative. They are literally taking away runs from themselves when they run on the base pass, which is a very difficult thing to do, mind you.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm glad to hear that the things we Yankee fans yell out at our television, like, this is the worst base-running team in history, is actually echoed by people with more level-headed approaches to these scouting evaluations.
Doesn't make it feel any better, buddy.
And therein enters the fury, because obviously, people are angry, Jeff. We want heads on pikes. Who do we blame for this?
The most interesting part of this Yankees team to me is not the present team that's out there on the field right now. They're just, I'm sorry, they're just not interesting. To me, it's what does Hal Steinbrenner do at the end of this season?
My opinion, the majority of the responsibility, whether it's the responsibility of inconsistent offense or bad base running, et cetera, that responsibility lies with the players. They're the ones on the field, right?
Hal Steinbrenner is not his dad. He is not the boss, capital T, capital B. He is not somebody who's going to go and put those heads on a pike. It's what his father would do. It's what made him great. It's what made him crazy. Brian Cashman has been New York Yankees general manager for a quarter century now. And Brian Cashman has won championships, and he has been extremely successful in making good teams. And then you've got Aaron Boone, the manager, a much maligned manager, I think in some ways unfairly maligned. Pablo, you're learning this, and you're going to learn it more as your child gets older. You can't say to people with free will, be disciplined. Like, be disciplined is something that you have to learn, you have to embrace, you have to understand. And it would be great if when somebody makes a bad base running play, you could sit him down, you could bench him, you could give him punishment. But the fact is, this Yankees team is not deep enough to do that. They need their best players in the lineup, because they simply haven't scored enough runs this season, even if their pitching has been pretty good.
Jeff, I have already learned, I can assure you, that yelling, don't poop your pants at both my child and the New York Yankees has been wildly unsuccessful so far. In terms of the guys that our prime targets, if you listen to like New York talk radio, and I recommend that people do that only under physician supervision, of course, because it's getting real. It's getting real unsightly, Jeff. But Gleyber Torres, Gary Sanchez, those are the guys that people keep on circling over and over again. They struggled last season during the shortened year. Are they the guys at the top of the list here? Who am I mad at in terms of the actual players here?
I think Gary Sanchez has actually been better this year than I anticipated. So,
Jeff, he's hitting 189 since 2020.
I understand. He's also slugging 457, which is third best on the team right now behind Aaron Judge and Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah,
so,
like,
you can come at me with numbers, but the other numbers tell a story that you don't like to hear. Gleyber Torres, on the other hand, just hasn't been good. This reminds me a lot of the end of the Jason Giambi era. Remember when the Yankees just felt really bloated and felt like
they
aging and guys not panning out? And I think that this Yankee team feels vacuous and directionless, and that when you look right now at where they are, where's the hope?
Yeah, Jeff, I'm reminded of how we felt better in New York after that Giambi era came to that fairly disgusting close, as you referred to it, right? Because that team became Alex Rodriguez and CeCe Sabathia and Mark Teixeira and a World Series the next year. So how do we get there? What devil do we need a bargain with, Jeff? What do we have to offer to get back in this thing? Because you know how this works here. We're not here to rebuild and to build up a farm system long term. That's not how it works.
It has to, though. It has to. In modern baseball, Pablo, buying championships like the Yankees used to be able to do is just not a winning formula. And so I hate to say this.
Jeff, if you're telling me that the New York Yankees are going to ask me to trust the process, I don't have enough left.
You've already exhausted all of your process trusting on Daryl Morey.
I am still in those stages of grief. I get it intellectually, but emotionally, I am an arrogant New Yorker on the 4 train yelling angrily at the sky because championships are not falling out from the heavens.
And you know what? It's why I enjoy talking to Yankee fans. Because hearing the level of hubris from them about what is acceptable and what is reasonable, it tickles me to no end. Yankees fans look at memories and say, your memories. I don't want memories if they don't involve gold rings with lots of diamonds in
them.
That's
right.
If they don't involve the number 28, you can write off. And that perspective to me, it is incredibly unhealthy and endlessly hysterical.
So what we're going to do is take a quick break, and afterwards, we're going to find out if that magical team can somehow arrive a little bit early so we can please Lord beat the Red Sox.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Bouncing ball, smothered by Gonzalez. Throw to first in time to get him, and this one's done. They sweep a 3-game series at Yankee Stadium for the first time in 10 years.
All right, Jeff, so I have toweled off. I want your sober analysis because the Yankees are going to try to make this season something more than a total waste. And they get the Red Sox. That is the good news. They get the division leaders to try and knock them off in 8 of their next 10 games. The bad news, of course, is that the Red Sox, well, how would you describe how this particular rivalry has been going?
What rivalry?
Oh, don't do that to me.
I'm sorry. I look at the Red Sox right now. They are just top to bottom a better team. Like, the 7th best Red Sox hitter would be maybe the 3rd best Yankees hitter right now.
1-2 to Sanchez. Swing and a miss, and that's how it ends. And the Red Sox have swept the Yankees again. They are a perfect 6-0 against New York this season. And in fact, the winning streak over the Yankees going back to last season is 7 straight games.
I'm going to tell you a little anecdote from All-Star Weekend. Xander Bogaerts and Rafael Devers walk into this room off the side of the clubhouse that we have. It's dark. There are lights, set up to make them look all good on TV. And I ask them, about how good this Red Sox team is, and you see both of them sit there and smile. And I feel like if I had Aaron Judge in that same room and asked him how good the Yankees are, probably wouldn't smile. And so these guys are covering every part of the team. And and then Bogart says, oh yeah, and we're getting Chris Sale back soon too.
Oh God.
I mean, listen, if there is any solace about playing the Boston Red Sox for 8 games out of their first 10 coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, where is that solace? I've been waiting an entire podcast for the solace. What was it?
The solace is that the Yankees get to suck just a little bit less now than they might going forward.
My lizard brain is awakening, Jeff. It's waking up, so please, please try and help me here.
I'm going to be the meanest kind of friend right now because I don't think you want to hear this, but I think you need to hear this. The Yankees are the 4th best team in their division. The Red Sox are better. The Rays are better. And I think the Blue Jays are actually better too.
The Blue Jays.
And I think the way that I can illustrate the Blue Jays are better is that they're going to be going out as the July 30th trade deadline approaches, looking to add. Not sure the Yankees are going to be adding much. And look, they have been in conversations about getting Joey Gallo from the Texas Rangers. How would you feel about Joey Gallo, Pablo, coming to join that lineup?
I'm already photoshopping it in my brain, and it is a Photoshop from hell.
Look, Joey Gallo is a very productive offensive player. That's just the truth. He gets on base and he hits for power in a very oddly constructed Yankees lineup.
He'd hit 1,000 home runs in the second half, Jeff. 1,000.
Yeah. I mean, the right field porch is sitting there just thirsting for a left-handed hitter to come there. And you look up and down the Yankees lineup right now. Luke Voit, right-hander. DJ LeMahieu, right-hander. Gleyber Torres, right-hander. Gio Urshela, right-hander. Aaron Judge, right-hander. Giancarlo Stanton, right-hander. Gary Sanchez, right-hander. You see a pattern here.
Yeah. So I'm going to not get my hopes up for that. Help me understand how it is. Because again, I want to be clinical here. How are the Red Sox doing this? Because in 2020, right, shortened year, Red Sox 16 games out of first place, 12 games under 500. Like, they seemed adrift in the way that I currently am adrift. So how is this happening?
They've done it in a couple ways. J.D. Martinez is right this year, which has gone a long way. You know, he's been one of the best hitters in the American League. And when you put him there with Devers, who has just turned into a monster from the left side, and Bogarts, who's having a career year right now as well.
Bogarts drives one into left field toward the gap. No one gets it. Vasquez scores. Dalbec right behind him. 2-run hit for Bogarts, and the Red Sox lead it 6-4.
But beyond that, it's the secondary guys on the offensive side who I think have had just as much impact as those big three. It's Kike Hernandez, who, you know, Chaim Bloom, the president of baseball operations there, signed this offseason as a utility guy. And Chaim Bloom was, you know, co-head of baseball ops down in Tampa Bay before he took this job. So, you know, if you have Rays blood, then you love versatility. And Kike Hernandez is as versatile as it gets. Alex Verdugo, who came over in the Mookie Betts trade, getting on base at a 346 clip, slugging 425, while Mookie Betts gets on base at a 366 clip and slugs 472. Pretty good value. If you see,
I did not see that playing out that way.
Well, if you see the pattern here, Pablo, what the Red Sox are doing right now is what the Dodgers have been doing, and what the Rays have been doing, and what all of these Tampa-influenced organizations seem to do, which is find value in places where you didn't think you would find it. I will say this, though. If you want to find the biggest insult to add to your injury. It's going to come in the form of a 25-year-old right-handed pitcher named Garrett Whitlock. Garrett Whitlock was taken by the New York Yankees in the 18th round of the 2017 draft, but he didn't get placed on the Yankees 40-man roster this offseason. And the Rule 5 draft comes along, and who grabs him but the Boston Red Sox? And over 43 2/3 innings in the first half
doing,
of this
Jeff?
Season.
How's he doing?
Garrett Whitlock's got a 1.44 ERA.
Yeah, that's a guy, Jeff. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I could use that sub-2 ERA this year. I'd like that.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Garrett Whitlock may not be great long-term. All you need is a guy who's going to go out there and be decent for quarter season, half season, and you get as much out of him as you can. And if there's something long-term there, hey, what a coup. But if not, he went out and did what he could to get you to one of the best records in the American League in the first half. And there's a reason that the Yankees are 8 games back of the Boston Red Sox right now, and that's one of them.
Well, another reason that I think I have to point out as it comes to why the Red Sox are just curb stomping the Yankees this season has to do with, I think, the worst kept secret in baseball last year, which is that, you know, Alex Cora is just going to be back and he's going to be managing this team and we all know it.
And I want to make sure everybody knows that this situation is part of who I am. You know, for the rest of my career as a man, I have to deal with it. I don't want people to make it seem like it's a great comeback story. I don't want that. I'm actually going to use this bad experience to make people better.
Can one person, can Alex Cora, manager of the Boston Red Sox, can he really be that much of a difference maker here?
He's very good. I mean, he's very good. And there's a level of comfort there with Alex Cora that just wasn't there with Ron Renneke. And Alex Cora has that ability. But, when I say something like that, I'm not trying to propagate the idea that comfort with a man is what makes him good at his job. What I do think gets lost, though, is the relationships. And the relationships that Alex Cora has been able to forge with his players, the fact that he knows what makes each one of them tick, that's something that he was able to do over the course of a championship season. And when you win a title with guys, Pablo, those guys will have your back forever. And they will open themselves up to you in ways that they don't others. And I think Alex Cora has figured out how to bring the best out of the Red Sox.
Jeff, I would love to have someone's back for the reason you said. I'd love someone to win a championship in this iteration of the New York Yankees so I too can have a fealty to them for time immemorial. But instead, I'm looking at this schedule, and again, 8 of our next 10 games are against the Boston Red Sox, which takes us almost cosmically neatly right into the trade deadline on July 30th. So you're my friend, but clearly you're also my therapist here. What do I need to prepare myself for?
The New York Yankees are, how do I put this? They're in purgatory right now. This year, they're still over 500, so to say that this year has been hell would probably be an exaggeration. They're also not anywhere close to good enough to warrant going out and adding to this team that has been, as you put it, pretty darn frustrating. And so if the Yankees roster looks the same on July 31st, as it does in their first game heading out of the All-Star break, it wouldn't surprise me much. Let's add one or two guys to this flawed team that even if we do add them, it's not going to help? or it's going to help so marginally that we end up finishing in third instead of fourth, and we end up missing the playoffs, or we don't miss the playoffs, and hey, we made a miracle run at the wild card where we're going to use Gerrit Cole, who then can pitch only one time in the next series, alongside which of our starters? Oh yeah, our starters that are all on the injured list right now.
Ugh.
I will say this, I did hear over the All-Star break that Corey Kluber might be coming back sooner than expected.
Mm.
And maybe. No, there are no maybes. This team's not going anywhere.
Come on, Jeff.
No. I can't do it to you. I can't. I mean, Pablo, if I were a bad friend, I would sit here right now and tell you that everything's going to be all right. And I would play some Bob Marley, and I would get some good vibes going.
Could use some vibes.
Yeah, but no. In truth, I'm going to put on a Simon Garfunkel record, and it's going to say this is the sound of silence, because I've got nothing good to say.
Jeff Passan, all I have to say to you is hello, darkness, my old friend.
Thanks, Pablo.
All right. After the break, how one NBA player's mission has put an entire nation to shame.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. Yusuf Nurkic has one of the great origin stories in the history of sports. Because the 26-year-old center for the Portland Trailblazers is from Bosnia and Herzegovina, and he got discovered there at the unassuming age of 14, when a local sports agent picked up the newspaper and read an article about this 7-foot-tall, 400-pound Bosnian police officer who, reportedly, beat up 14 people in a single fight. That giant police officer, it turned out, had a son who himself was increasingly giant. And that agent started scouting young Yusuf Nurkic, which is how Yusuf, who had never played basketball before, got whisked away to train in Slovenia and then Croatia and then Denver, ultimately in the NBA as a member of the Nuggets and now as a Blazer in Portland. But Nurkic's homeland has never once been far from his mind, especially over this last year. Bosnia and Herzegovina has been ravaged by COVID-19, with over 205,000 cases that have taken nearly 10,000 lives, several members of Nurkic's own family among them. Last July, for instance, while Nurkic was riding a bus in the NBA bubble, he learned that his grandmother had died of a heart attack at age 67 after spending weeks in a coma after getting the virus. And even though Yusuf himself got fully vaccinated this year in America, only about 5% of Bosnia and Herzegovina, which has been relying on donations of vaccine supply, can say the same. But yesterday, our Ramona Shelburne reported that Yusuf Nurkic has been trying to change all that. Nurkic had embarked on a mission to try and buy enough vaccine supply for his entire country setting out to acquire millions of doses from here in America, researching the costs associated, making a plan, trying to basically take care of everything. But then he discovered something exasperating. Because even though the United States has so much of the global vaccine supply already spoken for, with many doses going unused right now, thanks to the many Americans who've expressed zero to negative interest in using them, those doses cannot be legally sold. Not yet. Not with so much of America still unvaccinated voluntarily. And not even with time ticking away involuntarily for so many of Nurkic's people back home. All these countries are suffering, Nurkic said. And the United States, obviously the number one in the world, has the vaccines, and people don't want to get vaccinated. I just feel like humanity has kind of failed. All of which, all of those words, make our mission here in America exasperatingly obvious. Because all we need to do is stop taking this vaccine for granted. Because all we're being asked to do is save ourselves. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.